You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh, it's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's international friendly with Austria Salzburg from Saturday afternoon.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as FC United's match with Austria Salzburg, later in the show we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in their match with Edgerton from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news by announcing that the development fund is now up to just over £62,000, with the DF raising £1,500 in the period between the 26th of Jan and the 1st of Feb. A sterling effort, so a big thank you, one and all. Elsewhere, and due to popular demand, the Mega Cabin are looking for some extra pairs of hands to help out on a match day. If you'd be interested in volunteering, please contact office@fc-utd.co.uk. or on 0161 769 2005. And finally, FC United on Saturday hosted Austria Salzburg in an international friendly like no other. Before kickoff, here's FC United board member George Baker speaking with our very own Ben.
Hello, George. How are you?
Hello, Ben. Good to be here.
So this is quite a momentous occasion for FC United. Considering it's a friendly, this bar here is packed. Kushkan Malcolm is in full swing. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the other bar as well. There's food. There's the beer festival. How much preparation has gone into this behind the scenes?
Quite a bit, actually. Yeah. I mean, we wanted something on because we've got a free Saturday and we wanted to put something on for it, and we didn't just want to put on the game, we wanted to put on various things to get people in, and the beer festival and Kosciuszko Malcolm's the perfect way to do that. I mean, if you were here last week for the Salford game, the bar was completely packed out. We knew it would be, you know, we knew Salford would be a big game, we knew we'd get a bumper attendance. We thought, well, we'll try and recreate the same circumstances but with a bit extra for the friendly game.
It's one of them things, isn't it? I mean, we've been saying on the radio now for about a year since we moved in, essentially, about trying to create that buzz around the ground that we used to have at Gig Lane.
Yeah.
Obviously, we left Gig Lane and then we spent a couple of seasons being nomadic, and I don't think we've ever got it back, in a way. But the last few games here at Broadhurst Park, there has been a bit of a buzz element, and how important is that?
It's paramount. I mean, you're not the only one to say that, Ben, because there's so many people who are saying that the buzz is finally back at FC. And I think bringing back things like Kosciuszko Malcolm are a huge part of that. You know, I've had people coming up to me even today saying, you know, it's absolutely brilliant that this is back, and that it should never have left. And we're really, really happy that this has worked, because you know, some people said that we wouldn't be able to put on something like that in this function room, but you know, the partition works perfectly well. You know, it's the best of both worlds.
If, well, I was at the first one back in July, I think it was.
Yeah,
and it was an evening one, and the room, it didn't look right.
No,
I'll be
it
honest.
Didn't, did it?
But Cabbage last week and Space Monkeys this week, it seems like we've obviously created a makeshift stage here at Kushka Malcolm. The flags are up, and I think, like, the, I don't really sound corporate here, George, but I'm going to say it, the processes behind the scenes here of the catering and the bar staff are working now, and suddenly
seems
the main stand bar is the right place for it, I feel.
Yeah, I reckon. Well, you mentioned the pre-season Malcolm, of course you can, they called it. The full room was open and it was good, but it was great to have it back and everything, but it wasn't as good as this, you know. Like, the best bit about Malcolm's, like at Bury, was the fact that Starkey's was such a small room. We got it bouncing every week. Well, they got it bouncing, the team at Malcolm's, every single week. So if you create like a little bit of a smaller space, it feels better, you know. And then you've got a different part of the bar, because you know Malcolm's isn't going to be for everyone. So it's good to have that bit of the bar that doesn't have it, and it's good to, obviously there's the SMRE bar as well. They've got I believe they've got a band on at the end of the game, according to something I saw.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
The buzz is definitely coming back, and there's so much positive feedback from last Saturday against Salford, and you know, there's a lot of old
just
faces
our podcast we did. I mean, we did the 11:22 discussion thing,
which was
brilliant. It was a very optimistic 40 minutes of discussion from the floor. And then you had on the podcast that we did, we had a band called Cabbage, who according to one newspaper, I say newspaper, according to one publication, the next big thing, and they were cracking lads. And we had the Hummingbird Project on as well. The result on the pitch, after you spoke to those great people, the result on the pitch didn't really matter.
No, not at all. I mean, you wouldn't think that you might have seen the pictures and the videos of the main stand paddock rocking and the SMRE as well. Just, you wouldn't know we'd lost 3-0. You'd think we'd have won 4-0. You know, it didn't seem to matter, that the result didn't seem to matter. It was just the fact that FC seemed to be back the way it used to be, and we need to continue that. You know, we don't want it to be a one-off, and this weekend is a good way. This is the third of five home games we've got in a row.
Yeah.
So we need to continue that, and this beer festival is going to hopefully go on till Tuesday, and we've got the West Isbury and Charlton in the Manchester Premier Cup semi. So we're hoping to maintain this momentum as much as we can.
And we should say as well, it's not just around the match either. I mean, Punkertainment this week went on tour.
Yeah.
And it's another thing we've been saying, really. I mean, in the good old days, there was the Branches, and to take a quiz night on tour to the Magnet, the home of the Stockport Branch, I think he's good as well. It breathes life into the club outside of a match day.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you don't, like, obviously it's been great having those Punkertainment nights here at the Borough of Spark, but it's good to get it on the road as well, because you know, you can't expect everybody, particularly if you live all the way over in Stockport, to get over here on a Thursday, on a school night, you know. And so it's good to take it on tour and to get a taste for the kind of development from fundraisers that we're putting on and things like that. So it's great that that's back, because I remember in the first few seasons when Swampy, do you know him?
No.
Well, he was a bloke.
He's pulled a sickie this week. He's dead to me.
Oh, so I've heard, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit Ryan Giggs, that, isn't it? You know, straight before a friendly. But he were putting on quizzes, I remember, in the first couple of seasons, and they were going all over the place. And I remember going to loads of those. So to get that back, you know, to get that first, it's one further step on getting that first season buzz back.
And everything else around the club, obviously, a month or so ago we had the statement, and there was a call to arms in many ways. How are we doing, the club more widely?
We're doing, there's still a long way to go, but we're doing well, you know. And as long as we maintain that, the work isn't done, you know. This stadium's got a lot to do, you know. We've got a lot to finish, and we've got the overdraft approved, which is good. That'll see us through till May, but obviously that needs paying off. And so, you know, there'll be a number of initiatives coming out after the general meeting, which has been made earlier this year. We're going to be selling season tickets earlier than normal, and we really appreciate it if people get the season tickets for next season as early as they can, so that we can build.
Plan ahead. Yeah,
we need to we need to plan ahead, and we need to you know, there'll be a few other initiatives. So there's several initiatives that we've got going to try and build a rock for future finances, so that we don't find ourselves in situations like this season.
It was a call to arms, and to be honest with you, the buzz around the place over the last month since that, you only have to come here on a match day.
Well, that's
matter.
What happens when you're honest with the membership, and when you tell them that, you know, this is a situation we're in and we really need your help. You know, mistakes have been made and things like that. So we rely on the membership, and as long as we keep them informed as to what's going on and what's happening, they will rally round. And I've got so much confidence in this club's fan base and membership that we will return it around. Absolutely, we will. And I'm very optimistic for the future.
Well, it's a cracking day. That's all part of that call into arms. This match here today is superb. Hopefully, it's going to be a real spectacle, not just for FC United, but for supporter ownership across Europe.
Absolutely,
in a way.
We've got delegations from we've got lads from Cork City here today. We've got Bath City as well. We're both supporter owned clubs.
I need to go get him then. Right, George, a big thank you for joining us.
No worries.
Have a lovely afternoon, and keep up the good work.
No, cheers, Ben. Thanks a lot, mate.
Ben, there speaking with FC United board member George Baker just before that big friend. friendly with Austria Salzburg. And to the match itself now, and to find out how the boys in red got on, it's now time to hand over to the FC Live team on Saturday afternoon.
For FC United, though, an opportunity to Emily, just to try a few players out. Gareth Arneson starts this afternoon. We'll give you the full team lineup in a minute, but Carbard be looking to make use of this game, Emily.
Yeah, great opportunity. We were just saying, you know, it's a break from the league, it's a break from our other commitments, and an opportunity for the managers to put together what they're doing on the training pitch, give a few of the new players that are coming through, give them a bit of a longer run out, try different formations, different partnerships. And just an opportunity for them to enjoy a bit of football on a Saturday afternoon.
We played 42 and a half minutes, so 2.5 minutes to go. I wouldn't imagine there'll be any added time. No goals, no trainers. Ball is cleared by Austria Salzburg. Well won there by Jake Williams. Ashworth completes the clearance. And good speed from Glynn there. Beats his man. Oh, and comes inside him. Into the box. Now, Glynn, can he get the ball? Oh, beats one, beats two. Oh, he needed to slide into Sheridan. Now, low there. Sheridan now with a shot. Into the box. Goal. Sweetest strike you can imagine. Good play for FC United. Glynn, excellent work. Got the ball through to Sheridan. There was a little bit of interplay with Lowe. And Sheridan, as sweet as you like, from the edge of the box to the keeper's left. In it went.
Yeah, fantastic play that from Kieran Glynn. A lovely turn to beat the defender, the first man. As he's brought it in the box, I thought, you know, he'd almost lost possession, but it fell to Sheridan. I think Sheridan was a little bit annoyed that Nathan Lowe had come across him to start off with, but flicked it back into his path, and what a strike from Sheridan. Fantastic finish.
It was good, yeah. Nathan Lowe, we looked as though he'd just got in the way there, but far from it. He produced a lovely ball to set up the chance.
Yeah, lovely little back heel, right. Opened up the space, you know, he took the defenders with him. Lowe created extra space for Sheridan, but what a strike from outside the box.
As Lowe takes his free kick, decent delivery, but cut out. Comes back to Sheridan, scorer of the single goal of the game. Sheridan plays it forward. Glynn, as he stayed onside, he has brilliantly. Glynn takes it round the keeper. He's going to get this across here, and it's gone in. And it was fine work from Kieran Glynn. He beat the offside trap. He took it round the keeper. He took it to the byline, and from the narrowest of angles, put the ball in the net.
Yeah, fantastic play from Kieran Glynn. You know, I've been talking about him all game. Super composure. I thought when he took it round the keeper, he might have made the angle a little bit too tight for him. You know, he could have taken himself quite wide on the byline, but a fantastic little threaded ball through. What a goal.
2-0 FC United.
Yeah, he's really showing his class today, is Kieran Glynn. You know, he's putting himself out there. Everything that he's done, can't fault him today.
Well, it's been good for FC United to fill this Saturday. Saturday came vacant, of course, because it's his early exit from cup football, but they brought a away fixture at Telford forward earlier on, and so they had a fixture to fill this afternoon, which has been a fine occasion. Now then, will be a throw-in or a free kick to Austria Salzburg.
Yeah, it's been a great occasion, you know, so far. The benefits from it, we've seen some good performances from FC. Keeps the fitness up as well, you know, gives them a game so they're not, you know, missing out on that match fitness, sharpness.
Wilkinson, square ball to Winter, who Winter Williams trying to battle for it. Battle royal on the far side with Harder. In the end, Williams has to play it back to Ashworth, out to the left hand side. Wilkinson over halfway, flicks it forward, and Winter with a fine run. Now, is his man onside? Thompson 3-0 surely.
Yes.
Dinks it over the keeper. That was good play from FC. Fine anticipation from Winter there, because one of the players went too early, so there was slight delay in the pass, and Winter read it well, and a nice ball there for Thompson, and also stayed onside. 3-0 FC.
Yeah, fantastic build-up play. That's it. You know, we've seen a lot of that. The runs off the ball, FC have been coming in, splitting the defence. Some fantastic runs to get in behind them. A great run from Winter, like you say, anticipation. Fed a lovely ball to George Thompson, cool and calm, you know, just chipped over the top of the keeper, and 3-0 to FC.
Yes, Neumann making a decision to go to ground, and that made Thompson's mind up for him. But Thompson did well there. 3-0 now, FC. Lots of clear red water now between them and Salzburg.
And that's how the match finished. FC United 3, SV Austria Salzburg 0. Here are the FC Live team on Saturday with their closing thoughts.
And that's it. So at the end of a wonderful occasion here at Broadhurst Park. Final score of FC United and Manchester 3, SV Austria Salzburg 0. Goal just before half-time from Sarah Sheridan. Sweet half-volley. Some great work from Kieran Glynn. Kieran Glynn himself with a fine bit of individual skill to score the second goal in the 54th minute. And then George Thompson with the third goal, dinking the keeper for 73 minutes. And lots of pluses for FC. And a good day out, Emily.
Yeah, fantastic day out. They're still bouncing to the left of us, the Salzburg fans. I think there's a lot of FC that have mingled in there, and that's what it's about. It's been a fantastic occasion. You know, all the pre-match, the build-up to it, the reserves games, but the match today, it's real positives for FC. A lot of players there getting an opportunity to show us what they've got. You know, for me, Kieran Glynn stood out, you know, head and shoulders above anybody else on the pitch. Some of his touches, his vision, you know, a cool finish, bringing people into the game. But, you know, everyone, you look at the way that FC approached the game, the movement up front, the runners, the support play. Three fantastic goals, some super finishes, but well done to Salzburg as well. They started the second half for me a lot better than FC, a lot faster, came out with a lot more pace. The players that they brought on really stood out for them. But, you know, today it's about the occasion and what these fans will take away from it. It's another memorable European occasion for FC United and Manchester.
Yeah, and big plus points from an FC performance point of view, Emily.
Yeah, some great plus points, you know, individual players, but it's more that the way that they worked, you know, getting closer to each other, support play, running off the shoulders, getting in behind the defence. There was a lot more of that than we saw today, a lot more composure on the ball, which you're going to get because the game's played at a slightly different pace, but we can take that forward. The fact that we've filled what would have been a free weekend with an occasion like this, it's fantastic for the players, you know, as they come over to the Salzburg fans, getting applauded, both teams together. That's what it's about. It's about the community that we're in. It's about fan ownership, bringing clubs around the world together, uniting everybody on and off the field. Fantastic atmosphere that we've got here in front of us.
Indeed, and interesting to see Wilkinson and Jones at the end there for FC. Unfamiliar faces, but both in general, not under a lot of pressure, but looking composed.
Yeah, certainly. I think Jones, for me, stood out there. Just the way he was on the field just looked so relaxed. And that's what you want. He was good on the ball. He did the simple things, just collected the ball, played it on, you know, pass and move. Supporting midfielder, fantastic play from him. You know, they're going to enjoy this, the players out there on the field, in front of the fans. Great occasion.
Indeed, and lovely to see both sets of players going out, enjoying not just saluting the fans, but rewarding them with a great response from jumping up and down and all the rest of it. So it's been an excellent occasion. And, well, will you be here for the cup game on Tuesday? Can you make it over or probably not?
Yeah, work ties.
I've told you this, haven't I?
It's difficult on an evening.
I've promised Steve Wood and Paul they're going all the way to Wembley.
Yeah.
I have promised them. It's all right jumping on the bandwagon now, you two. But where were you at RBA in Chatterton
exactly.
Away?
So, yeah, are you banning me from commentary on Tuesday?
Oh, no, you're more than welcome to come for our time analysis.
If only I was qualified to give a half-time analysis.
The other thing to mention as well about today's game is obviously we've had Cork City here and Bath City and Falkirk for Germany have been here too, as well as supporters Direct Europe. But the number of kids milling around as well.
Yeah,
well, obviously James has been doing a bit childminded during that commentary. I think he's done an excellent job.
Yeah.
But it has been a proper occasion.
Yeah, it really has. It's great to see, and at this time of the season as well, it's at the end of them long dark days of January and February, and you get an occasion like this that really lifts you. So it's good for everyone.
So do you think he'll ring the changes on Tuesday, or do you think he wants to win this and he'll play a full squad?
For my money, I would like to see Jones was superb in the FA Youth Cup against all three sides who played in that competition this year. I think today he's proved he is.
Yeah, he certainly has. I was really impressed. You know, he came into that match as if he's been playing there for years. You know, he was so composed, so relaxed, really good on the ball, good support play, link-up play. You know, he did all the, you know, simple things. Great touch, great vision, bringing other players in. So, yeah, he's certainly given Margie somebody to think about.
And we had Arneson starting as well. It's the first time he's... other than in previous Manchester Cup rounds, actually. But Arneson, he's got a proven track record at Workington. He's just not quite match fit, is he? But there's elements, isn't there, where you can see that he's a good player?
Yeah. There's been elements throughout. I think he got better as the game went on for him. The more he touched the ball, the more he was involved in it. But, yeah, you could certainly see that his movement up front, playing a forward man, just... a few more games to get his fitness up to really be able to compete. I think that's what he'll need.
We've had two FCs over the past fortnight. We had the Harrogate game. I know you weren't here for that, Emily,
no.
But believe me when I say the way we played that game was the best we played in a while, actually.
Yep.
The movement was everywhere across the pitch. The fullbacks were getting involved. The midfield was creative.
Yeah,
then
I was
there
able
was the
to
Salford,
tune into that
then
one,
there
yeah.
was the Salford match. The team we started with today had the likes of Glynn in it, it had the likes of Jake Williams in it, and Sheridan, and when Wolfie came on as well, he added something. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, the players that you've just mentioned there, they're the ones that you want to come and watch. You know, I was saying today, Kieran Glynn, he's just I don't want to say too much about him, because he was head and shoulders out there on the pitch today, and that's the sort of play that people want to come and watch. You want to come and see, you know, his first touch is fantastic, but his turns, his moves, he's got the tricks, but he's running off the ball, bringing players into the game. He's fantastic, and you know, you want to come and watch. You want to watch players like him. Jake Williams is another one. I think the start of the season, there wasn't a better fullback than him. We certainly need that. Hopefully we do get a lot more of them linking
Absolutely.
Up and playing together.
It's been a great occasion this afternoon here at Broadhurst Park. We had an interview earlier with George Baker, which we'll be able to hear on This Club Is My Club, and that was all about the vibe of the club, trying to add a bit of buzz off the field to proceedings and that kind of thing. Obviously, we had the quiz night on a Thursday night at the Magnet. That's like the old days at the Branches of yesteryear. It is about getting a buzz back at the club and games like this. I mean, Austria Salzburg should be congratulated. It's just been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's
from
been
them.
Fantastic. You know, right from the start of the game, they're still here in the stands. But yeah, like you say, this is what it's about. These occasions, and you know, there is a real buzz around the club before kickoff today. You know, all afternoon, right through, and then it'll carry on long into the night, I'm sure.
Emily, thank you for coming back. Much appreciated.
No,
we'll see you at Charlie next week.
Yeah, I'll be here, definitely.
Will not be around, so it's good that you've got the A team, and I'll try and listen from North Wales.
James, thank you for your excellent commentary as well. A big thank you to Statle Paul too for all his stats this afternoon, and a big thank you to the hospitality shown for the reserve side earlier on. Some of us have been here since God knows when. Did this day start? A long time
last
ago
week.
What time is it? Anyway, thank you. This has been FC Live, brought to you by constructivecody.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. We'll see you tomorrow for Women's Team Live, part number three of this quadruple header. That's right, isn't it? Quadruple yep. header here at the Beer Festival at Broadhurst Park. Women's Team Live, FC United against Edgerton in the league. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Get down here anyway. The main stand bar's open all day. It's cracking real ale, ciders, beers, craft ales, IPAs. I sound like Swamper, but only because I've listened yep. to Swamper. No, I don't actually strange. Know what I'm talking about, but then again, does Swamper. Emily, James, Paul, thank you for joining us. Thank you, dear listener. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Ben, James and Emily there from Saturday afternoon. So quite the occasion for FC United on Saturday with over 1,500 supporters, including a travelling Austrian contingent of around 400 or so joining the festivities. At half-time on Saturday, Ben caught up with Austria Salzburg club manager Florian Trummer.
Right, I did promise you an Austria Salzburg fan, and I've got one. Would you like to introduce yourself for the... Oh, you were doing a selfie as well. Would you like to introduce yourself for the dear listener at home?
Yeah, welcome. I'm Florian. I'm also the club manager of Austria Salzburg.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought you were a random supporter. That's the way it was presented to me.
No, I'm also the club manager, but in our club, also the fans plays an important role. So I'm also a fan since it's really nice.
The story of Austria Salzburg, we all know about what happened back in 2004 and 2005. But there is a kind of affinity between the two clubs because both formed pretty much at the same time. How's the journey been as a fan-owned club?
We are really looking forward. We really love that there are so many fans. The fans are our basic. So as you can see here today, it's about 500 supporters coming with a third league team from Austria to Manchester. And it's also for the people, for the fans, for the players. It's an unbelievable trip, so we really like the place, the ground here, and yeah, I think we will remember that. Yeah, it's amazing.
We saw a picture of the majority of the contingent coming up the road earlier with the police there and everything. It was amazing, and the noise they've been making all the way through this first half has just been sensational. Is that what Austria Salzburg is about, the togetherness, the fan culture at the club?
Yeah, the last years were really hard for us because some financial problems, some problems with the ground in Salzburg, but the really heart of the club are the fans. So as you can see here, the fans are coming, they're supporting us, they're making a really good emotion. So this is why I'm working for that club, why I love to go to each match of the club. So it's really... it's an unbelievable feeling, and I think it's also here in Manchester with your club, so you can also be happy that you have the fans, that you've found your 2005, and yeah, this, the history with both clubs is really nice.
And how's it's showing your winter break now in Austria, isn't it? How's the season going so far?
We complete restructure the club in summer 2016, so we have to cut down the match day cost, we had to cut down the team, and now we have a really good team, but there are also some points what we can do better for the spring season. So we have about 6 to 8 weeks preparation to when the season starts, and yeah, this is all our second friendship game, and yes, we are looking forward, and it's all these positive effects, I think, also for the player. They came here, it's for some of them it's the first time to play international, and all that would be the motivation to come in the next week to training, and because it's it's amazing here.
And you mentioned a word there, friendship. And obviously the supporter ownership family of Europe, I mean, we've got Cork City here, Falkia here as well. It feels like a bit of a real advert for supporter ownership and fan ownership in across Europe. How have you found the whole process of fan ownership with regards to Austria Salzburg and Central European football more generally?
I think tradition is in football, or it's in all part of our life, a really important part. So we should fight for our traditions. We should fight against the other people who would like to destroy the tradition of fan-owned football clubs, and that play or that game is it's a really nice or it's a really good sign for all the other people who are fighting for protecting the tradition in football.
And that's what FC United was founded on. It was basically saying, "Not on my watch. I'm not paying any more money." Because they object to that ownership structure. You've done the same thing, and it is about protecting the game from I spoke to Pat Lyons, the Cork City chairman, and he said it's about protecting the game from these clowns who ruin the game for supporters and fan culture more generally, and that was what it's about. It's about protecting the club's identity, about protecting the colours of the club
in general. Sometimes the way for our club, also I think for your club, is not easy, but why we do this work is for the tradition, for moments like that, where you can see so many people are protecting the tradition of so many people coming to that ground here today. And it's also a really great festival of football, and it's not easy, but I think in the future more and more traditional clubs will fight.
How long are you here for then? Are you sightseeing today, was it, or yesterday? How long are you here for?
We came in yesterday. And today was a small sightseeing program. We went to the National Football Museum and also to some of the main sites here in Manchester. After the game, the players have a little bit free time to see other attractions here. And tomorrow we go back home to Salzburg. But before, the players and also the staff will go to a sightseeing tour, maybe have a look to other places here in town. So,
and it's not rained for you, so you must be very pleased about that. It rains a lot here. A big thank you for coming on the radio. A big thank you for coming to and creating this match. And hopefully, one day in the future, we can have a return fixture. That'd be nice.
Yeah, we're looking forward that also your people, your fans, and your club coming to Salzburg, and it would be also a really nice atmosphere, because as you see the ground here in Manchester, we also have a beautiful ground with a lot of mountains between the stadium, and it would be really nice if you come in summertime, for example, to Salzburg, and we have a match against you.
I'm there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Ben there speaking with Austrian Salzburg club manager Florian Trummer. And a big thank you to everyone at Austria Salzburg for their warmth, passion and friendship on Saturday afternoon, and we wish them well for the remainder of the season. FC United, though, return to action this week with two vitally important matches. Firstly, on Tuesday evening, FC host West Didsbury and Chorlton in the semi-final of the Manchester Premier Cup. Kick-off at Broadhurst Park will be at 7:45pm. The match is pay on the gate, and prices are £5 adults, £3 concessions and £2 for under-18s. While on Saturday, it's back to league matters at Broadhurst Park as FC United host promotion-chasing Chorley. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3pm and normal prices will apply. But as always, if you cannot make these matches, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Tuesday evening at 7:30pm and on Saturday afternoon at 2:30pm on www.fcumradio.co.uk.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
Very shortly we'll be hearing how the women's team got on in their vital league match with Edgerton over the weekend. But before that, and staying with the international flavour of Broadhurst Park, FC United welcomed delegates from Cork City and Supporters Direct Europe to the ground this past week as part of the club's ongoing participation in the Erasmus project. Here's Ben with more.
It's not just Austria Salzburg here today from the supporter ownership community of Europe. We're also joined, thanks to the Erasmus project, by supporters and delegates from Cork City. Would you like to introduce yourself to dear listeners at home?
Okay, so I'm Mike Derham. I'm secretary of the Forest Trust that owns Cork City Football Club. I've been on the board for 2 years now.
And I'm Niamh O'Mahony. I'm here from SD Europe, but I'm actually also a former board member of Cork City and Forest as well.
Now, we've spoke to Cork City numerous times. Pat Lyons is here as well, we should say, chairman. And it's a cracking story behind Cork City. It's 7 years of building and getting somewhere. And obviously, last season, you did get somewhere. You went all the way to Dublin and you won the FAI Cup, and that's not bad at all. Was a shinner finish, but I'm sure you'll take it.
Yeah.
But how was last season for yourselves as a football club?
It was an excellent season. We went into the Europa League. We played Linfield, up in Linfield, and beat them. And we got a result through to the second round. Drew Hacken and beat them I think to their surprise, I think we were confident of going through, but they were surprised. We went to the third round then, and we put up a really good battle against Genk. And it was hard to take a defeat against them, but I suppose they deserved it over the two matches. Genk then went on to top their group. So it kind of puts us in perspective that we are good enough to go another step further, maybe this season, and take it on. But finishing second at Dundalk was, again, disappointing. But beating them in the FAI Cup final in the way that we did it was pretty satisfying.
I bet it was. But yeah. Is it disappointing in a way when you take the overall picture and the fact that the club nearly went out of existence in the mid to late 2000s and here you are,
yeah.
Not just, you know, surviving but thriving in a way?
Yeah, it's when you put it in perspective, it's like if there was no football club in Cork, we wouldn't know that this was possible. So now that we know it's possible, it's like we're always looking for better now. So, I mean, it's been an amazing achievement to come seven seasons and to do what we've done. So I think the fans get it. You know, it's a choice of being behind a club that's going somewhere. I think that's the main thing.
And we speak to Supporters Trust all the time, yeah. Via our show, Supporters Direct Weekly. And how easy is it to manage a football club like Cork City? I mean, at the moment, off the pitch, there's things like a regional development centre, isn't there, for academy players and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
How difficult, how easy has it been as a fan-owned club?
I think it's important to have the right people on the board, the right people that give you advice, the right people that get behind your sponsors as well.
I should say you recently signed a very big sponsorship deal as well.
Massive
one. Yeah, the University College Cork.
Yeah,
yes.
It's the biggest deal that we've had. It's fantastic to be associated with UCC. And again, that kind of gives a perspective of how we're perceived in the community. UCC see it as an amazing deal for them as well. So that Cork City and Forest in particular, the name Forest is very respectable in the community and in the business world. The club itself is then respected.
And you're here for the Erasmus project. Andy Cheshire went to your gaff.
He did.
It's a Mancunian phrase.
Yeah.
In late 2016, you're here now. What are you aiming to get out of these exchanges?
We look at governance, we look at sustainability, and we're looking at fan engagement. So Andy, when he came over, he was talking about community. Mm-hmm. We spoke to Vinny yesterday about the community involvement as well and the work that's being done by FC United. We see that as a major part because we're going with this project in Glanmire where we're developing up our own home for the first time. And what you've done here at Broadhurst is kind of reflective. We won't be playing at Glanmire, but we'll certainly be putting out in the community and using it for community benefits.
Excellent stuff. Now, Niamh, obviously you're from Supporters Direct Europe, and obviously Erasmus is a big part of that. It's not just Cork, it's not just FC United. Talking clubs like Malmo and Schalke and clubs like that, it is a big thing. What's SD Europe trying to get from this kind of networking, to use the terrible corporate phrase?
It is a terrible corporate phrase, but it's so important, actually, because my background is that I'm involved in Cork City and Forest. That's where I came from. I was involved in the first SD Europe European project and also this project as well. And the benefit of it can probably be summed up by what's going on inside, where you have people from FC United, Falke in Germany, Bath FC Trust from England, and Cork City sitting around a table just discussing generally how things run day to day. How do you handle this? How do you handle that? So the idea of it, and the easiest way to explain it, is that if you're in business, you network with people who are in a similar line of business with you, or an alternative line, to just see what they're doing, see what the idea that fits. And the message from ST Europe is really, really simple. The best people to run the football club is the local people, the supporters, the people who know Mostyn, Manchester, the people who know the people of Manchester. They have the best interests of the club at heart. But what they can do is talk to other people, alternative ideas. You're going to have to decide here at FC United what the best way forward for FC United is. But if you can look at what Cork City are doing, what Falke are doing, what Bath FC are doing, what Schalke are doing, what Malmo are doing, then you can be guided by what to take forward.
We always say there's no one supporter club's the same as the other one.
Nope.
And obviously, supporters clubs are very political entities, and sometimes there can be fallouts internally and that kind of thing. But it is good to look at other clubs who perhaps have gone through similar. I mean, imagine in a club the size of Schalke, I'm
pretty sure 100% of the fan base don't get on with one another all the time.
The interesting thing is that a fan-owned football club is the exact same as every other football club, and that stuff happens internally. The difference is that fan-owned football clubs, and I was actually in Norway last weekend, and it was put to me really clearly. I was discussing, and I won't name the club, but they were discussing what they would do with their current board, and they wanted to get a supporter's voice on the board. So they have a 50+1 rule, so it is community ownership, but they didn't feel that supporters were represented on the board fully enough. And the guy that I was talking to went, "I want this club to live forever. That's my goal." And I said, that is a supporter that wants that. So I always say supporters are the most ambitious owners. We want absolutely everything for my football club. So my football is Cork City. I will tell you, they're the best in Ireland. They're the biggest club in Ireland. We have the best ground in Ireland. We have the best supporters in Ireland. We have the best players in Ireland. We have the best underage academy. But I want everything. I'm so proud that we have University College Cork on the front of our shirts. I'm so proud of many, many things. But we also have things we have to learn. So even no matter how good we think we are, we can always learn. And that's the value of Erasmus. We have 6 football clubs from across Europe. So a tiny football club called Cava United with 70 members, up to Schalke, who have 130,000 members. And we sit in a room and discuss how we might do our business a little bit better. And from everybody, from Cava, Murcia, Cork City, Malmo, Schalke and FC United, the value in sitting in a peer network where people understand the challenges that you have, it's invaluable. We're halfway through the project, just about.
Yep.
And what we're actually talking about this stage is how to continue this network support, how to continue people sitting in a room just having a chat together. I would like to think FC are getting the same type of value out of it that Cork City are feeling. I know Schalke, for instance, are already thinking about how do we keep it continuing, and that's what we love to hear.
Excellent
and
stuff.
That's what SD Europe kind of is there entirely to facilitate talking, if that's to keep it simple.
Brilliant. Well, yeah. Mike, Niamh, thank you for coming into the cold to join us. Much appreciated. Won't keep you much longer. A big thank you. Good luck to Cork City. Season kicks off at the end of February, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Finn Harps.
Oh, we're away to Finn Harps. We have the President's Cup before that, though, which is the equivalent of the Charity Shield. So we play Dundalk at Turner's Cross on the 17th. I will beat them again.
I'm sure you will, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you.
And just to add, thank you for the hospitality here this weekend. It's been fantastic. From the board members, to the people in the bar, to the everyday volunteers, it's been fantastic to see what we do. I've been here before, but we're really excited to see a football match. Yeah. So it's
lovely having you here, and thanks for joining us, and well, good luck.
And for more information on Cork City, please visit www.corkcityfc.ie. Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United return to Broadhurst Park to host Chester-based side Edgerton in the league. To find out how Luke Podmore's side got on, it's now time to hand over to Ben and the women's team live team from Sunday afternoon.
And here is Battle now playing it to Marsh. Marsh is through here. Is she going to have a dig at goal? No. Good save and cleared by the Edgerton defence, but only as far as Kirsty Chambers, who has a pop, and it's in! What a goal from Kirsty Chambers. 3 minutes gone here at Broadhurst Park. The ball broke to Kirsty Chambers, who was about 5 yards or so outside the penalty box on her left foot. Always the wrong move for any defence to allow Kirsty Chambers to have a dig on her left foot. And she slots it home into the bottom corner, and a cracking start from FC.
We're pushing so many bodies forward. It's very, very hard to withstand this kind of pressure.
11 minutes on the clock. Wild with this corner. It's dangerous. It breaks, and there's Tarsley hits the post. So here is Chelsea Patient now on the other side of the penalty box, on the ball, looking for options. Finds Fran Davis. Davis back to Chelsea Patient. He plays it back to McCarrick. McCarrick now plays the ball down the line. Nice flick on there by Beth Tattersall. Gets it to Battle. Battle now holding on to the ball. She has a dig! And that is 2-0 to FC United of Manchester. And from the corner, Edgerton were all disorganised from that corner. Beth Tattersall hits the post. Gets to Chelsea Patient on the far side. Nice little bit of 1-2 there between Chelsea Patient and Fran Davis to McCarrick. The ball play forward. And a nice flick on by Beth Tattersall to get it to Jess Battle, and Battle slots it home comfortably, and in 12 minutes it's FC United 2-0 up.
That's 5 goals for Jess Battle in 2 games in 12 minutes.
And here's Chloe Wilde now. Wilde plays the ball just behind Chambers, but Chambers wins that ball back. Chambers now to Battle. Battle holding that ball up on the edge of the box.
Needs somebody wide.
Turns. Oh, that's a lovely ball to Wilde. What a ball from Battle. And Wilde shoots, and it's over the goalkeeper's head, and it's in the back of the net. And on 35 minutes, what a ball from Jess Battle to find Wilde. And well, what a finish from Wilde. 3-0, Paul.
Jess Battle is obviously more than a goal scorer.
Here's Mia Holden, plays the ball forward, and Edgerton get the ball clear. It's going to be a throw-in to FC, 18 yards or so from the corner flag of Edgerton. And here is Wild giving the ball back, and the cross comes in. Evans tries to win that header, but the ball breaks to Kirsty Chambers down this left side. Good stuff from Chambers. She's going to have a dig. She shoots. It's in! 4-0. And we said it was going to take a bit of Kirsty Chambers' magic to finally score in the second half. And on 72 minutes, Chambers, a little dink over the top there. We're talking, 3 yards or so outside the penalty box on the corner of it on the left-hand side. Little dink over the defender and then belts it. The goalkeeper looks at the ball and goes, nope, not getting that. And in it goes.
Even Holloway was left flat-footed on that one. It was just a bit of speculation, wasn't it, from a loose ball and rifled into the corner.
Chelsea patient there, pushed in the back. Referee awards a free kick to FC United just on the halfway line. And it's going to be, I imagine, taken quickly. Yes, Jess McCarrick takes the ball quickly and passes it out to the left-hand side where Adore Yao is. Adore Yao on the ball, plays the ball to the edge of the box where Battle is. Battle is dispossessed and Edgerton get it cleared, only as far as Mia Holden. The ball is going straight back into the penalty box and it's going to break to Battle here. Battle does well, and another good save from Holloway, and a cracking save from Holloway, but the ball breaks to Chloe Wild, and there on 74 minutes, nothing Holloway can do. She's still the player of this match in my humble opinion. Two saves there from Holloway at point blank range. The ball breaks though to Chloe Wild, and FC United now make it 5-0. Going to be a corner ball to Edgerton on the far side. It's going to be an outswinger. In it comes. Derby there trying to win that ball back, but there's Vias trying to bring the ball away. They're committing players to this attack. But that leaves space, and Holden wins that ball back, plays the ball forward, and here's Battle now, one-on-one with the defender, leaves that defender, plays the ball to the right-hand side, and this is Chloe Wild for a hat-trick. Good save again from Holloway. Absolutely brilliant stuff. And the ball breaks to Morgan McVertu, wins the ball back, and the referee says play on. McCarrick plays the ball to this right-hand side, where Chloe Wild is. Wild with a cross in, headed clear, only as far as Morgan McVertu. Here is McVertu now. Back to Wild. Wild crosses this ball in, beats everyone, and it's Vias now. Vias slots it home. 6-0 on 76 minutes. And again, I still maintain Hannah Holloway is having a storming game here for Edgerton.
I thought
6-0.
I thought there was a fascinating piece of play there. They won a corner, and they actually committed players forward for the first time in the whole of the half. And all of a sudden, they lost the ball, and we had a 3-on-2. And Chloe Wild ended up with a fierce shot, and it was a terrific save. But it just shows you how they opened up like a tin of beans.
Yes.
And this is what they obviously were trying to avoid during the whole of the game.
Adore Yao cuts that pass out, and here's Chambers now. Chambers forward to Holden. Holden holding the ball and coming down to the right-hand side. Wild lays it off to Vias. Vias now. She's going to have a dig. She does. Oh, it hits the underside of the bar. And I think that went over. No, referee says no, and Battle now on the edge of the box. And handball, surely, referee. He's not having it, but the ball breaks to Chambers anyway and slots it home. Kirsty Chambers makes it 7. And it follows a shot from Amy Vias, which hits the underside of the bar. For my money, it went in, but referee said play on. And what followed then was walking football, in essence. Ball breaks to Chambers and she slots it home. And on 78 minutes, it's a hat-trick for Kirsty Chambers. And it's 7 for FC United, 7-0, Paul.
I think the mental fatigue is beginning to kick in.
And here is Mia Holden. Mia Holden to Chloe Wild. Wild now. Really good pass to Amy Vias. Vias now on the edge of the box. Goes one way, goes another. Plays it to Chambers. Chambers is lining up a shot. 8-0 on 90 minutes plus one. And that is the fourth goal for Kirsty Chambers. A fine ball from Chloe Wild to get it to Vias. Vias just helps it on. And Chambers unleashes the left foot. And in it goes. And that is 8-0, Paul.
I thought that was a very clever pass by Chloe Wild to find Chambers in a position wide left where she could fire in a shot.
OK, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and goalkeeper Amy Gillingham, returning from the first season as ex-captain, but enjoying it back. Nice little 8-0 win makes it a bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, not so much to do today, but it's absolutely brilliant to be back at the club. Just really pleased that you've taken me back on board. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So, Luke, those three at the back seem to be working again today. I suppose when you're playing against the teams nearer the bottom of the division, there's less threats going forward because I don't think they actually had a shot on target today. So the three at the back's all you really need, I suppose, and then you can start pushing forward and and get, try and get more goals.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's obviously I wanted to come in and put out my stamp on it, and I think the players have embraced it and ran with it, and I think, you know, now you're seeing the rewards. You know, we're creating so many more opportunities. I think we had 62 shots on goal today.
Yeah.
You know, and it, we have literally picked up a defender and put them up front, so it, it, you know, we doubled our tally, I think, in front of the goal, and I think we've just got to move forward. The players are getting used to it now more and more, and, you know, we might not play that every week, but at the end of the day, the players are showing that they can adapt. We've had players today rotating three different positions, one in another two. So, yeah, they're great. They're all taking it on and embracing it, which is good.
Yeah, it showed from the sidelines as well, because apart from about 15 minutes of the second half, it all looked very free-flowing today. But we were all spectators, as you were, Amy. You didn't really have a lot to do today. But do you find it difficult to keep concentration, maybe, when you've got a match where you're not being threatened much?
To be honest, I try and stay focused, because it's key, because that's where mistakes happen. If you're not switched on, they're the type of games where you can see goals because you're not focused. So main thing is stay focused for the whole 90 minutes. Yeah, well, can be difficult, but
we can certainly hear you, so we know you've not fallen asleep.
I'll be shouting for the full 90 minutes. Yeah. So, and you'll be able to hear that on the video.
Yeah. So we got 101 goals for Kirsty today. It was a nice little celebration for her get that in the club's 100th game as well.
Yeah.
Nice little round out there.
Yeah, really fitting for Kirsty, I think, because obviously she's been here from day one as well, and obviously captain. And, you know, Kirsty's puts everything into each performance she does. You know, her work rate's fantastic, and she's been really on board from day one since I came in, obviously, and you know, I can't thank her enough, and she's getting her rewards. And again, an unfamiliar position for her at the start of the game today, obviously playing in the 10 role, obviously then rotated back out, and as you said, it was very free flowing today. The players had license to move in and around the pitch, and I think that's where sort of after the 20 minute spell in the second half, where we managed to start becoming a little bit more dynamic, we managed to get that goal, and then obviously the more came, and 8-0, I'm happy with that. That's great.
Yeah, it's a good result. So thoughts going forward now to playing Sir Tom Finney next week in the cup?
Yeah, again, I think there's two or three changes today to the starting lineup. So again, focus moves to cup next week. So yeah, it might be a few more changes in there. We'll work on it at training, and I think Tom Finney won 5-1 today. So they're top of the Northern Division, so we've got to be on it when we go there.
Yeah, they're pretty much an equal sort of position, isn't it? We're in the South, there in the North, and we're both at the top of the divisions and pressing.
Yeah, and we don't know much about them. They probably don't know much about us. So we've just got to make sure we know our roles on the day, and we know that on our day, if we play well, hopefully we'll come out on top. And I think that's what the players will do.
And I think that's what we will get. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much,
Neil. Thank you.
Women's team live there from Sunday afternoon, and a big, big congratulations to FC United's Kirsty Chambers for reaching a century of competitive goals for the club. And on that happy note, that's it from me for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time.